You're listening to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer. Now live in the studio, local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, the Saturday, October 27th show. I'm Tina Mitchell, Mortgage Diva, and sitting to my left is my co-host, the Mortgage Master, Mike Mercer.
Good afternoon, Tina.
Ready for an awesome day?
Absolutely.
Always. Great show.
Yep.
We have ways to save money with a home warranty, and we have ways to save money with King County Assessor.
So those
are our guests today. I'm excited. We have Lloyd Harrion, King County Assessor. He's been in a few times with our show before, and he's here to answer all the questions you may have about your property taxes. So get out statements if you have questions on that. And then we also have Gene Roberts with Old Republic Home Protection, and he's here to save you some money on your home. So if you're looking at purchasing, looking at selling, or if you're a current homeowner, mm-hmm. you won't want to miss out on Gene's segment. And Mike, I have a feeling it's that time.
I'm feeling it.
Let's have some money chat. Money, money, money.
So, Tina, I was looking at an article from actually the LA Times. Of course, it's talking about HARP again. Home Affordable Refinance Program, and just some interesting things that I kind of want to have a dialogue with you about this because
okay.
I know that you and I have shared some of the same frustration over the past year plus with trying to help people out with this program.
Two, three years.
Yep. And the constant changes that were happening, and we thought we were able to help people, then we weren't, and the guidelines were changing constantly, and it was just pretty frustrating for us, and obviously it was even more frustrating for
imagine what the homeowner is going through.
People we were trying to help, exactly, but. A couple of interesting things, and this article is fairly recent, just like in the last week and a half. But the title of the article was "The Record Low Interest Rates Today Are Still Out of Reach for So Many Homeowners Because of the Fact That They're Underwater." Right? We know that there's about 2/3 of Americans that are paying a 5% interest rate or higher currently, right now.
Oh my gosh.
And here's what's interesting is that 69, almost 70% of American homeowners in general, they currently have rates above 5%, and about 33% of those people have rates right now that are over 6%.
Wow.
And you're kind of scratching your head going, why aren't
they calling us?
Exactly. Why aren't they calling us? Well, there's many reasons that we're going to go into right here on why that's not happening. But, as we know, the average 30-year fix for the most part of this past year has been under 4%,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And most recently, it's been averaging probably around in the mid-3 range.
Not quoting rates, because it depends on cost, right? And credit qualification.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
But that's kind of where we've seen in roughly bouncing around in that general vicinity. So, what are the factors that are keeping people from taking advantage of refinancing? The first is going to be obviously battered credit, right? And I have a feeling, well, not just a feeling, I know, because we look at people's credit reports, we review their applications. And unfortunately, a lot of people's credit have taken such a hit, God bless their hearts, because they're actually letting other things maybe go late in order to maintain making sure that they're paying their mortgage payment on time,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, out of all their debts that they may carry, they're obviously, their house is the most important one to them. So they're basically, whether it's, stealing from Peter to give to Paul, doing whatever they can to make sure that mortgage payment is being paid on time every month.
Sure.
But unfortunately, maybe other things are hurting their credit. And that's not to even say that they're late on those things, but we've talked about this in past shows where maybe just their credit card balances are going up.
Sure.
They're still making those payments every month.
They're over
month.
That 50% threshold, which
and
is
now
devastating.
Now their credit scores mm-hmm. are going down.
Yep.
And that's that's one of the reasons that's prohibiting people from being able to refinance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to think, it's insane to think that everybody is doing everything they think they should be doing, and yet they still are not able to take advantage of
sure.
this program. Okay, so credit, battered credit. The other thing was insufficient income, and which you just really can't help that. We know that unemployment is up. It's highest that it's been for a long, long time. So one or two people in the household maybe are not currently working. So
uh-huh.
they come in to us, they talk to us about trying to get a refinance, and we look at them and the income's just not there.
Mm-hmm.
They may have the credit. They might have everything else in alignment, but they just can't get it done because the income's there. So bad credit, insufficient income. And then, of course, what you and I deal with all the time, which is stricter lending standards,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just harder to get loans done these days. So last but not least, the article went on to kind of talk about, look, people are just underwater. So here's the interesting point is that you could have the income, you could have the credit, the good credit,
mm-hmm.
you could have the job and everything else, but now because your home is underwater And because your loan may or may not be with Fannie or Freddie, you simply can't take advantage of lowering, you know, getting a lower rate.
Sure.
So a company called CoreLogic Data had done a study that showed that 84% of underwater folks definitely had rates higher than 5%, and out of, you know, almost half of all the underwater people have rates above 6%. So,
and I'd be interesting out of those is how many are qualified for the new HAR provisions and don't know it. How many are qualified for the streamline refinance and they don't
right.
know it?
But hasn't that been the most frustrating thing though? Is that the average American has no idea uh-huh. whether their current mortgage is Fannie or Freddie?
That's why we're here.
And that's why we're here, mm-hmm. right? So, kind of a call to action would be if people want to have us look it up, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy. We can go to the Fannie or Freddie websites and pull
call
up.
To action. If you haven't refinanced and taken advantage of these low interest rates, even if you've talked to a mortgage consultant in the past because so many changes and things have happened, call to action is pick up the phone, give us a call, 1-888-776-1090. Again, that's 1-888-776-1090. You can always reach us online at themoneyhour.com. So call to action if you have not refinanced, even if you've talk with a mortgage consultant in the recent future, if you've been denied or said no, give
things,
us a call.
Things have changed, mm-hmm. right? I guarantee somebody that was told no a year ago.
And
is,
the big major banks are not doing what maybe a mortgage banker is in a position to do as well. So you may get no from one company and then get yes from another company.
Right. And it takes us what? It takes us literally 60 seconds
to see if it's owned by Fannie or Freddie.
To talk to somebody and to ask them a couple questions and to really, while they're on the phone, we're able to run it and find out immediately whether they are on Fannie or Freddie.
Yes, not immediately be able to determine that we can offer a mortgage, but find out if they qualify.
Yep,
yes,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So you had talked about this in the Fed stimulus plan that the central banks had purchased up to $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities, of course, to help, you know, push the rates down. But unfortunately, it's still not going to help those people that are underwater,
mm-hmm.
right? It's got to be driving people nuts to see that we're at an all-time low of interest rates and that they can't do anything about it. So, you know, changes that were made to HARP, maybe you can kind of touch on this, but I know that, you know, they quoted that there's been a 95% increase in participation in the program over the last, the first part of this year.
Unbelievable.
More than, you know, the previous year. So, in your opinion, what do you think that they've done as far as with HARP goes that has made it, you know, why that participation rate is going up, which is fantastic news.
I think it depends on where you're at. And I'd be interested to know in our local market here in the greater Seattle area. A big part of it is because the loan to value, there are limits in some situations, in some areas there's not. And it just depends on what the lender's doing and the qualification of it. But I think that's a big part of it. Not that we're seeing as much of that here, because fortunately in the greater Seattle market, we haven't seen as much of a decline as you would have maybe in Nevada or
Arizona.
Yeah. And so people that they were so upside down with the extended loan to value, or in some cases, no limit to loan to value or how much you can be upside down on your property, that has allowed a lot of people to come in. But also in our local market, what we're seeing here, maybe not as big of a challenge in the value issue, is the qualifying that you'd mentioned. So the qualifications are easier than what they used to be. If you've had challenges with debt-to-income ratio, or you'd mentioned in income qualifying, they're allowing, I've seen it go through the system in high 50s, low 60%. Now, a disclosure, it doesn't mean that you're going to qualify. Not everybody qualifies. There's a lot of different factors. It runs through an automated system. Desktop underwriting is an automated system through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which again is part of the HARP program, if your mortgage is backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. So when it gets run through this automated computer system, there's all these algorithms that decide whether it makes sense or not. And having that debt to income ratio going to a high 50 to a 60 is a new part of the program. So easier qualification based on income, definitely.
Right. And I don't know if you've heard anything about this, because I haven't yet. But what the catch has been, like, your loan, your current mortgage would have had to been sold to Fannie or Freddie prior to June 1st, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, you know, as we start to move in now to 2013, if we'll start to see that particular guideline change as far as the date.
Yeah,
so that
more it'll be interesting to see if they start extending it to people that are previous to the June 2009 date.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, again, I just, you know, this is such a great program for people who whose loans have been sold to Fannie or Freddie. Like I mentioned, the majority of people I feel out there don't have any idea whether the loan has been sold to Fannie or Freddie, so they have no idea if they can take advantage of this program.
Mm-hmm.
And we just would really encourage, you know, our listeners to call us 1-888-776-1090 and either speak with, you know, Tina or myself, and to have us help you look into that very quickly to see if mm-hmm. you'd qualify, because it's an amazing program that's out there for people. But that's usually the catch that we see, is that most people just have no idea whether they qualify for it.
Yeah, and we're just having so much fun listening from our listeners. So if you're listening right now and you have contacted us at the show, thank you. It's great getting to know some of the loyal AM 1090 listeners and have the opportunity to help assist in different financing. Today during Money Chat, we're really focusing on the mortgage opportunities because it's been a while since we've done that. And that's what Mike and I both do, is we have our mortgage practice. But it's just great hearing from you in anything regarding money. And if it's not relating to mortgage, again, we surround ourselves with the best of the best in the local market so we can give referrals to all areas of financing and everything money.
That's what we do.
So just a reach out. Thank you. So also in Money Chat, since it's about mortgage and opportunities in that area, Mike and I are actually doing our first Buyer Power Workshop, and we're opening it to our AM 1090 listeners. We're going to have a complimentary dinner for you at a great location in Bellevue, the Coral Restaurant, thanks to Mike and all his contacts in the entertainment side. So we're excited to have it there. We're excited to meet you face-to-face. Again, it's a all education about mortgage and some of the opportunities that are out there. Now, it's really geared towards renters or possible move-up buyers. So maybe not as much if you're really educated in the market and you're long-term investors. This is not an investment seminar. There's a lot of workshops and presentations out there geared towards investors. We really want to help you as a renter. If you're renting right now today, you can't afford to miss this workshop.
You know, for the baby boomers out there that are listening, or anybody that has kids that are currently renters, this, you know, pass this information on to them for them to come. Or, you know, the folks can come themselves and sit in and listen to the program and learn about it. But I guarantee you that whoever hears about this program, even if it's not for them in you know, particular, that they know somebody, a family, a friend,
everybody
a
knows
coworker,
somebody that's currently renting.
A child, yep, absolutely. Yep.
I think there's so many consumers out there that have no idea that they're actually in a position to be a homeowner. They feel trapped and forced to have to continue to rent, and that may not be the case. They may be in a position that homeownership is going to cost them less than rent, and they have no idea of the programs that are out there. And one program that we're going to really put a lot of focus onto is the Home Advantage Program through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. And we've talked about this before in studio. The highlight of the Home Advantage Program is it's a zero down payment loan. You don't have to have a down payment to get into a home right now. And not only is it zero down, because it's a second mortgage, so you're utilizing the Home Advantage first mortgage through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission in conjunction with that, their Home Advantage second mortgage. Now, the second mortgage is 4% of the loan amount. It's at a 0% interest rate, which basically means that there's no payment for it. And that's the difference between this new program that the Housing Commission has came out with in comparison to the other down payment assistance that we've always seen in the market, is there's always been a rate and a payment attached to that. Whereas this one is a 0% interest rate, which means there's no mortgage payment. Let's look at a $250,000 home. Your down payment on a $250,000 home, if you're combining this with an FHA loan, would be a 3.5% down payment. So that would be $8,750. You're going to have closing cost and prepaids, maybe around another 3% of that, $7,500. So the total cash on a standard purchase is going to be $16,250 if you're purchasing a $250,000 home. Now, if we take 4% of the loan amount, your down payment assistance would be $9,650. Now, you are going to pay this back, this $9,600 you're going to pay back, but it's paid back at the end of the 30-year term, or if you decide to sell or refinance your home. If you're going to sell or refinance your home, that second mortgage is going to be paid off at that time. So if we had our total cash of $16,250 to purchase, because again, you have cost associated to buying a home, that leaves us with about $6,600. So in true disclosure of purchasing a house, you can get in with a zero down payment. Maybe you need another $6,600 in closing cost and prepaids with this example. But all you need to do is negotiate into your price that you're offering the seller to get the seller to pay for that. So then that's what we call in the industry a true zero down or a double zero.
Because the seller can pay up to 6% of the sales price towards the buyer's closing cost.
Now, in this market, we've talked many times about how it really is a seller's market now. It's turned into a seller's market versus a buyer's market. So chances you're going to increase that price that you're offering the seller to get them to agree to do it. But it happens all the time. The program is not specific for first-time home buyers, so it really is geared in helping a lot of first-time home buyers. But if for some reason you brought this up last time we talked about the program, Mike, if you were affected by the economy and for some reason you lost your home and you've actually been a renter, because a lot of people lost their home in the beginning of the disaster, the economic disaster that we had, but they've been able to recover for the next few years. So if you've been out of a short sale or foreclosure for 3 years and you're back in the market, you may not think that you can buy a home, and surely not in a position to buy a home zero down. You can qualify for the Home Advantage Zero Down Program. So we're going to talk about that. There is an income limit, $97,000, which is pretty forgiving in our local market here. So you can't earn more than $97,000 unless, for some reason, one of the spouses is not going to be on the loan. It's going to be based on the income of any borrowers that are on the loan.
And this is the key thing that makes this so different than these types of loans in the past, right? Because in the past, they would take a look at whether the person was on the application with a spouse or not. They would combine all income. Even if your kid, you had a 19-year-old kid that was living at home working, you had to count that income against. So unfortunately, it disqualified a lot of people from being able to go with this program. But like you just stated, this program's so unique. And what's so great about it is they're only going to look at the people or the person that's actually on the application. And that's the income they're going to go off of.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then the credit score, because you mentioned that a lot of people are coming back now from maybe having some past economic challenges.
Yep.
So maybe their credit isn't that great. The minimum credit score for this program is only 620.
620.
Right?
Yeah.
So
a huge benefit for the program. So really quickly, before we wrap up on our first segment, again, if you want to attend the dinner workshop, give us a call, 1-888-776-1090. Again, that's 1-888-776-1090. Or go online. You can register right online, themoneyhour.com. Again, that's themoneyhour.com. Register online. Come meet Mike and I personally. Come enjoy dinner with us. Have great information provided. And I just want to put in there, also, we're going to talk about the MCC Mortgage Credit Certificate, a 20% tax credit on all the interest you pay on your mortgage for the life for the loan, dollar for dollar. We're not talking about the deduction. We're talking about a dollar for dollar tax credit, 20% of all of the interest you pay on your mortgage, dollar for dollar. Come to the workshop, yep. Learn about the tax credit. Yep. Oh, the dates. Thanks, Mike.
It's the first
really
workshop.
Really important.
Yeah, the first workshop is going to be Thursday, November 8th, and it starts at 6:30. The second workshop will be Tuesday, November 13th, and that also starts at 6:30. So either one of those evenings. And like you mentioned, this is at the Coral Bar and Kitchen in downtown Bellevue, actually located in the Hyatt Regency right there.
Beautiful location.
In downtown Bellevue, right on Bellevue Way. So great restaurant.
Coming up next on the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, Gene Roberts with Old Republic Home Protection. If you're a homeowner, you will want to stay tuned and learn how to protect your home and save lots of money.
Baseball, the national pastime. It's basic, simple. In a time when, for a lot of Americans, many things are not. Your local Allstate agent can help make things a bit easier by saving you money on car insurance. Right off the bat, safe drivers can save up to 25%. Are you in good hands?
Get big league insurance for less. In Seattle, call Allstate agent Brett Stenmo first. Discount subject to terms and availability. Discount amount subject to change. Actual savings vary. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments and unsure about the road ahead? Magnum Law Group helps families just like yours navigate through the foreclosure avoidance process. Are you underwater on your home and unsure what to do? Magnum Law Group will help you understand your options. Are you facing foreclosure and need to stop a trustee sale? Magnum Law Group has success in doing this and may be able to help you too. If you're tired of dealing with the banks and getting turned down for loan modification, Magnum Law Group will take on the banks for you and lead you through the process for the best possible outcome. They lead the competition with superior knowledge and expertise.
This is Craig from Magnum. You can reach us at 425-605-6393 or at www.magnumlawgroup.com. See you at the next seminar.
Are you on a tight budget? An Old Republic Home Protection Plan protects your budget from unexpected and expensive system and appliance breakdowns. You pay only a reasonable trade call fee for service on covered items. Old Republic has been shaping the home warranty industry since 1974. They've built an outstanding reputation on providing dependable, caring service you can rely on.
Hi, this is Gene Roberts with Old Republic Home Protection. Give me a call today to learn more about our home warranty plan or to order protection for your own home at 1-800-282-7131. Again, that's 1-800-282-7131, and my extension's 1329.
This is the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on AM 1090. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance experts Dina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer here on AM 1090 every Saturday at 3 p.m. sharp. The purpose of our show is to help our listeners understand what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me at 1-888-776-1090 or contact us online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-776-1090 or online at themoneyhour.com. Tina?
And in studio, we have our first guest.
Let's make it happen.
Gene Roberts, Old Republic Home Protection. Gene Roberts has been in the home warranty business for the last 10 years and has served as an account executive in the Northern Alabama as a regional vice president for the Mid-Atlantic region. He recently moved to the Pacific Northwest, right here in our beautiful Seattle area, to be close to his family. And as an account executive in Alabama, he was able to grow his market share to the highest percentage in the company. Gene says his job is to help keep the American dream from becoming an American nightmare. And it's all about saving money and making sure you're protecting your home, right?
Right.
Thank you so much for being here, Gene.
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, Gene, can you explain, in opening this up, can you explain to our listeners what exactly is a home warranty?
Well, a warranty is a service contract that covers specific items for a period of time. And in the case with a home warranty, it covers all your major systems and appliances. So if one of your systems or appliances break due to normal wear and tear, the home warranty company will cover that covered item or replace it.
So, Gene, I think it could be easy for a consumer to confuse this with homeowner's insurance, right? What's the difference between a home warranty versus your standard homeowner's insurance?
Right. A lot of people do get confused between insurance and warranties. Insurance basically tries to make you whole after an event, where home warranties cover the specific item. And probably the best example I could give you of how those work together is, let's say your home water heater burst and it floods your house. The home warranty would take care of replacing the hot water heater, but the homeowner's insurance would take care of the water damage that was caused after the event happened.
Okay, good example.
So that's one thing that would be covered in a home warranty. What are some other things besides like water heater? What are you limited to what you can roll under that umbrella as far as the home warranty?
Yeah, it does cover specific things, mainly all your major systems. It covers heating, plumbing, electrical, all your kitchen appliances. You can add coverage on a lot of other things like your air conditioning, swimming pool, washer and dryer, things like that. And you can tailor the plan to fit whatever you need to have covered in the home.
What percentage of current homeowners do you think carry a home warranty?
It varies throughout the country. It really depends.
What about here, like in Washington?
I would say it's very low. Actually, I think that a lot of people aren't aware of the coverage that they can have. I would say it's probably 20 to 30%.
Okay,
so if they were educated, it would be, what would be your guess?
It should be 90 to 100%. Of course, I think everybody should have one. To me, it's a no-brainer because people don't have the money to pull out of their pocket every time something breaks. Usually, it always breaks at the worst possible time. So, you know, your choices are, you either have to go into debt or you have to call all your relatives and see if they can help you.
Mm-hmm. How do you rate what somebody would get charged for that? Is it strictly determined upon the appliances that they're rolling in? Or are you also looking at these people like a typical insurance company would, where you're maybe viewing, you know, income, credit history, that sort of thing? Is that completely irrelevant?
No. The plan is based on square footage. The basic plan covers up to 5,000 square feet. Once you go above 5,000 square feet, it's a different cost. But $260 is what the basic plan costs for a single family residence, or $235 if it's a townhome or a condo. But for $260, all your major systems are covered, and you can tailor it and add other coverages to add, like air conditioning if the house has one, or like I said, swimming pools, things like that.
So I think that's important to talk about is the coverage. $260 a year is how long the warranty lasts for.
Correct.
And if there's anything, if you just think, if you're listening right now and you look at anything that might potentially break that's not covered by your homeowner's insurance policy, I would imagine, Gene, that every single one of those would be more than $260,
I'm scratching my head why I've never...
You don't have homeowner warranty insurance, do you?
I've never had homeowner warranty, ever.
Me neither.
And I've seen realtors offer it, right?
Yeah.
On their signs when they're selling a home.
Yes.
That they'll pay for that.
Yep.
And now I know why they're paying for it.
Yeah.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, exactly. So go into that, Gene, about the listing side and as a potential seller and offering this.
First of all, here's my card if you need to order one. I'd be happy to help you.
Well, we've already talked now that we did the pregame for the show.
but we do offer coverage both during the listing period and for the buyer. So if the house is listed, you can put a warranty on the house, and it will cover you up until the time it closes. And then the 1 year kicks in at the time that the buyer closes on the house. And you're right, there's very few things that can break in your home that won't cost you more than $260. It's to me crazy that everybody doesn't have it on there, and nobody pays anything until it closes. So if you have your home listed, we will cover the systems at no additional charge, assuming that you're going to pay for a warranty for the buyer.
So if you're listening right now and you're thinking of selling your home, or your home is on the market, you need to pick up the phone. Give the show a call, 1-888-776-1090. We'll connect you directly with Gene and his company. Again, 1-888-776-1090, or you can go online to themoneyhour.com and we'll get you connected with Gene, because you definitely, it would be a missed opportunity if you're looking at selling your home that you don't have this offer.
So, Gene, on this type of a coverage, is it something that you just have to renew every year?
Yeah, it's good for 1 year, and you will get a notice in the mail, and you can renew it year after year. A lot of people will keep renewing the plan until something major happens, and they get their money's worth out of the plan. But again, at $260, that doesn't take very long to happen.
Gosh, yeah, I'm just stunned that more people are not getting a plan like this.
Me too.
Well, I bet you're going to have a lot of callers calling in today. So not just if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, but if you currently own a home and you're planning on being there for a while, you need to get this coverage.
Right. Typically, we only do it during a resale transaction, but listeners to this show can call in at 1-800-282-7131 and my extension is 1329, and they can order it, and we'll allow them to get a warranty on their current home.
If they mention that they heard you from our show, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Gene, do you want to say that number one more time for our listeners?
Sure. It's 1-800-282-7131, and my extension is 1329.
So again, that's a special offer Gene's doing just for our listeners here on the Money Hour, because it is set up specifically for during the purchase process and a resale. But if you're a current homeowner and you do not have a home warranty, definitely give the show a call, or give Gene a call directly. Gene, can you tell our listeners about your company a little bit, about what sets your company aside from maybe other home warranty companies that are out there?
Sure. First of all, we've been doing home warranty since 74, so we know what we're doing, and you wouldn't survive that long if you didn't do a good job. We're the third largest home warranty company in the country. People in this area aren't as familiar with us because we haven't had local representative in quite a while. We do have a sister company in the title industry that people are familiar with, but we have just recently moved back into the area. So my job is to educate people on the reason they need to have home warranties. And I'm prejudiced. I think we're one of the best, or the best out there.
Well, of course, that's why you work for the company.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay, so Gene, so if a listener wanted to, you know, try to sell their house and they wanted to use a home warranty as part of their marketing plan, how would they go about doing that? Like, what advice would you give them?
First of all, I'd tell them to go ahead and order the warranty right away so that they'll have coverage between now and the close of sale. And if you're going to offer a warranty for the buyer, I have sign writers available I can give to their real estate agent. They can put it out in front of the house, and it'll let people know that the house offers a warranty. And you can put it, of course, in comments in the MLS system. And studies have shown if a house is offering a warranty, it typically sells faster than ones that don't. And usually it will sell closer to the list price because the buyers aren't as concerned about repairs.
So I have a question. Do you guys come out and evaluate the person's homes and their appliances to see like what kind of shape they're in before you give a warranty on it? Or do you just ask basic questions like the year it was purchased and what kind of the model it is and that?
Great question. We actually don't come out. We assume that everything's in good and proper working order.
That's nice.
That seems
now,
like it's...
Now, having said that, obviously we're not going to cover something that's an obvious pre-existing problem. If the day after close there's a quarter-inch hole in the heat exchanger, that was obvious that problem existed before you called the warranty in.
Sure.
So we obviously couldn't cover that.
Okay. But most of it's just going to go off of them just communicating to you the year and the make of the model.
Right. Exactly. And we'll go by what the technician tells us when he goes and views the problem at the house.
Gotcha.
So let's talk about claims. What type of claims is the company covering? I mean, they're paying out,
right?
Obviously, and I think it's important to talk to the listeners about how much they're paying out.
Yeah, in 2011, I think we paid out $73 million in claims, And a lot of people just think that, you know.
I want to say congratulations, but maybe not so much.
Yeah, maybe not so much. Of course.
Yeah, they didn't make $73 million.
Exactly. But claims are a good thing. It shows people that we do what we're supposed to do. And as word of mouth happens, I think that people will see the value and will continue to grow.
Can you take a warranty out on an older home? So what's is there a particular year that you guys will not go back to?
No, there's no age limit. We treat a 100-year-old home the same as we do a 2-year-old home.
And then what about a single family versus, let's say, manufactured or mobile?
We do
everything.
Both.
Okay.
Pretty much as long as the home's not still mobile, we'll do it.
So. As long as the home is not on wheels, right?
Exactly.
Gene, what about, let's say something does happen to a homeowner's home and they have a home warranty with your company? I would imagine that there's going to be a list of preferred contractors that they're going to use. Can they do the work on their own? I mean, how's that set up to protect you as a company?
Great question. Basically, they would call us at our 800 number. We have a list of technicians that we deal with. So you don't have to worry about trying to find your own technician in the middle of the night. You just call our 800 number. We'll assign a technician. They'll come out. You'll have a $60 trade call or deductible, if you will. And then we'll take care of whatever's broken if it's a covered item.
So then it has the customer service attached to it as well. You're not having to go out there and hunt and make sure you find a good quality person to fix the issue in your home because you've already done the screening.
We've done all
that
for
awesome.
You. Exactly.
So I'm just curious if you have any like funny stories of people calling and asking for certain things to be fixed. I would imagine that some of the calls that you get, not to take you off subject, but I think it'd be kind of funny to hear.
Well, we did have someone call and say that their refrigerator was shot, and we got there and it actually had been shot.
It had a bullet hole
in it, yeah. We don't cover that, by the way.
No stray bullets.
Okay, it's not a funny story. Just really quick funny story. My mom she works for a pest control company, and somebody called up and said they had crickets in the house. Well, guess what it was?
What?
It was the fire alarm was out of batteries. So, Gene, on that note, what is the most popular thing that you see that is breaking down in homes that is really a common thing that the home warranty is helping out that homeowner?
Your heating and air system, obviously, is probably the thing that concerns people the most. It's the most expensive item to fix.
I was just going to say, how much does that cost?
Well, it depends on what's wrong. It could be as simple as replacing a coil or a heating element, or it could be extremely expensive if you have to replace an air conditioning unit, for instance. That's usually the most expensive, anywhere from $2,000 to $8,000, depending on the system that you have.
Wow, for a $260...
Exactly.
Annual policy. So again, call to action. If you're one of our listeners and you're a current homeowner and you don't have home warranty, give us a call at 1-888-776-1090. Go online to themoneyhour.com. Again, that's moneyhour.com, and we'll get you directly connected with Gene. Special for our listeners here on AM 1090. For a current homeowner, because really this is set up for somebody that is selling their home. That's the typical policy.
Or a buyer, yeah.
Or a buyer. Somebody that's buying a home or someone that's selling a home that wants to get the policy set up. But special for our listeners, Gene is making sure to get our existing homeowners covered as well. So, again, give the show a call.
You had mentioned you said something about square footage earlier. Mm-hmm. So what is the scale that you guys are using on that? Why does square footage come into play? Why is that important compared to, like, just the appliances that the person has that they want to cover?
Well, typically, if you have a house that's over 5,000 square feet, you're going to also have more heating and air systems, for instance, and you're also going to have higher-end appliances. Typically, if you have a 6,000, 7,000 square foot home, you're not going to have a $200 stove in the kitchen. So that's one reason that our price goes up, is because our liability goes up as well.
Okay. But somebody with a 1,500 square foot home and somebody with a 3,500 square foot home are going to probably pay the same.
Exact same price.
Interesting.
So, Gene, with the renewal process, so you have your home warranty policy, and it's time to renew it because, again, it's $260 a year. When they're going to renew it, is there some maintenance checking to see what's going on with the home ahead of time or are you just keep renewing that policy?
No, you just keep renewing it. And typically at the time of renewal, it's going to be a little more expensive.
Okay.
Because, as we hold on to the policy, our likelihood of things breaking continues to go up year after year. It's not going to be extremely expensive, but it will be a little bit higher than the $260.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I was going to ask like if the person continually makes it every year without calling in a claim, if like regular insurance.
Oh yeah, is there some kind of discount for no claim people?
But it doesn't work that way because every year that they make it through, all the appliances are 1 year older.
Oh, that's
right?
Sure, good so, point.
Exactly.
So the risk. You guys are smart.
So any other types of costs that one would look at other than just the basic, the policy of starting roughly around 260. Is there any other costs that come in? You mentioned there's a cost, a deductible when somebody comes out to actually make a call on the property, right?
Right. And again, you can add above and beyond the basic coverage to add either more appliances, more systems. And there's things that typically wouldn't be covered under a warranty. For instance, let's say we're completely replacing your air conditioning system. If we have to modify ductwork or something like that to make the new system fit where the old system was, typically that's not a covered portion of the repair.
Uh-huh.
But you can add options that would cover that. Sometimes you do have some more out-of-pocket expense if we're doing a complete replacement,
yeah.
But it's minimal, $200, $400 versus several thousand dollars, of course, is obviously a good buy.
Now, would hot tubs and swimming pools be considered stuff that you see people asking, requesting to be uncovered?
Yeah, so you can get both of those covered. You can add a swimming pool coverage or a hot tub coverage, either one. Typically, even things like your Whirlpool tub is covered, the motor and pump is covered, but things like the jets, for instance, wouldn't be.
So Tina, your Olympic sized swimming pool that you have at your house, that could be covered.
That's going to be an expensive part of that personal plan to set up.
Yes, because there's so many people with pools here in Seattle.
Exactly. So Gene, being in the industry on how to protect your home, what tips do you have for our listeners? Things that they should be doing that maybe they're not, that are simple, and you can actually save a lot of future maintenance on your home.
Probably the most common is people forget to change their air filter, and they burn up the compressor or something like that in their heating and air system. Just what I always do is every time I get the bill for the electricity, I change the filter. So
that's a good reminder.
I'll have a store of filters in, and as soon as the bill comes, I change the air filter. Something very simple, but it'll save you a lot of. Plus, you need to get it maintained every year, at least once or twice a year.
Are you guaranteed to get replaced the same type of model or newer model, or do you not really have a sense? You know what I'm saying? So if you have a year-old GE dishwasher, right, and it's some sort of fancy model, whatever, the replacement to that, if it were to break down completely, right, would be equivalent to or better, right? People aren't getting – it's never refurbished stuff. You're
basically going to get something with the same functionality. It might not be the same brand, but it'll have the same functions that your current dishwasher has.
Gotcha.
So if it's three-speed, you'll get three-speed or four – function, whatever you have.
Gotcha.
So, Gene, any final advice for our listeners as we wrap things up here with you?
I would just say make sure you get a home warranty to protect yourself. And if you're selling your home, get a home warranty so that your house will sell faster. Well, again, it's a no-brainer. Give me a call.
Great tip. Thank you so much, Gene, for being here today.
Yeah. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
Coming up next on the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, you won't want to miss our King County Assessor. He is personally here in studio. Lloyd Hara, breaking it down on your property taxes. Coming up next.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments and unsure about the road ahead? Magnum Law Group helps families just like yours navigate through the foreclosure avoidance process. Are you underwater on your home and unsure what to do? Magnum Law Group will help you understand your options. Are you facing foreclosure and need to stop a trustee sale? Magnum Law Group has success in doing this and may be able to help you too. If you're tired of dealing with the banks and getting turned down for loan modification, Magnum Law Group will take on the banks for you and lead you through the process for the best possible outcome. They lead the competition with superior knowledge and expertise.
This is Craig from Magnum. You can reach us at 425-605-6393 or at www.magnumlawgroup.com. See you at the next seminar.
Baseball, the national pastime. It's basic, simple. In a time when, for a lot of Americans, many things are not. Your local Allstate agent can help make things a bit easier by saving you money on car insurance. Right off the bat, safe drivers can save up to 25%. Are you in good hands?
Get big league insurance for less. In Seattle, call Allstate agent Brett Stenmo first. Discount subject to terms and availability. Discount amount subject to change. Actual savings vary. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you own a property in King County, do you know how your home is assessed? Time is valuable, and you don't want to waste it trying to appeal the value of your home without understanding how an assessment works. Many homeowners make this mistake. Get the information you need at kingcounty.gov/assessor. Learn how your neighborhood is trending. Find detailed reports on your property and search for comparable sales at kingcounty.gov/assessor. Lloyd Hara, King County's tax assessor since November of 2009, says he's honored to serve the people of this great county, and he pledges to operate his office in a manner that treats all taxpayers fairly and with the respect they deserve.
Hi, this is Lloyd Hara. If you want more information about what our office does and data, go to kingcounty.gov/assessor.
Now back to the Money Hour on AM 1090 with your host Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer here on AM 1090. Every Saturday at 3 p.m., the purpose of our show is to help our listeners understand what's really going on in our local real estate and financial arena. You can always reach Tina and me at 1-888-776-1090 or contact us online at themoneyhour.com. That's 1-888-776-1090 or online at themoneyhour.com. Tina?
I am excited to have back in studio Lloyd Hara. He is our own personal King County assessor here to talk today about King County property taxes. Hara is a respected veteran public official, was elected assessor November 3rd, 2009. He has a record as a tireless advocate for taxpayers and a champion of openness and transparency for the government agencies. He's most recently served as Seattle Port Commissioner, bringing new levels of accountability and leadership changes to the port. Lloyd, thanks for coming back in studio.
Well, thanks, Tina and Mike. Good it's a you, pleasure to be here.
So, Lloyd, I understand that your office wrapped up sending out valuation notices in just mid-September, kind of having started back in May. You know, what are you seeing as the trends for the number of appeals?
Well, one of the things that's important, since we send out almost 700,000 valuation notices, and taxpayer has 60 days from the postmark date of the valuation notice to formulate an appeal. And one of the things that we are seeing this year is that appeals are going down. And you may ask why?
Why?
And I think a lot of it is better public education on part of the office. People are much more familiar with how the property tax valuation system works. And secondly, it also embodies to the average property taxpayer that their properties are properly valued.
Right.
I mean, if you think that we're right on the target, then we will see this happen. You know, the high water mark happened in 2008. Mm-hmm. We had well over 13,000 appeals. This this last year, we got it down to around 7,000, and we figure for this next year, for the 2013 tax, we should have another drop maybe of 15 to 20%.
Congratulations. That's awesome. So, Lloyd, for our listeners unfamiliar with the appeal process, can you please go over the basic requirements and entities involved?
Sure. You have 60 days from the postmark date of your valuation notice. So that gives those that were on the last element of it in mid-September have approximately 15, 16, 17 more days to go to formally get their application in. They do that to the Board of Equalization, okay? They can get forms online and fill that out. They can fill and send it in. But one of the exciting things that's happening in our office is that we're going to go online.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can file your appeal online. And
so you're making it easy for people to file appeals.
Well, absolutely.
That's great.
And, you know, one of the goals that I had set out was improve customer service. And this clearly will do it. It'll provide you the opportunity to fill out basically your appeal if you think your values are too high. But also within the calculation, if you think your property is worth X and you can go through and on the online system, make a comparison to see whether or not your neighbors and friends are equally valued as your property.
So, for example, there'll be a room to put in this type of data into the appeal, like you know, my neighbor's house at such and such address, right?
Sure.
I know just sold for this much money or whatever it is, right?
Right.
So you are actually encouraging people to, you know, if they're going to take the time to argue that they think their taxes are too high, all you're simply is asking, well, give us a little bit of backup, right? Give us some data that supports your theory on why your taxes are too high, right?
Exactly. You know, our goal is to make sure that everything we have is transparent to you as a taxpayer.
Right.
And so then you can go out and actually make a comparison with equal and like properties as yours.
Right.
And come up with a determined value. Now, you know, some people may say, well, gee, I think you're off by $10,000. Well, we also have a tax calculator there to see, you know, if you win your case before the Board of Appeals, to see whether or not it's worth your time, effort, and energy to even file for appeal. And that's the critical thing.
Lloyd, do they go to kingcounty.gov? Is that the website?
Yeah, kingcounty.gov/assessor to get on to our website.
Okay, kingcounty.gov/assessor.
Correct.
So how relevant is it when you're comparing home values or what homes have sold for to what the properties are being taxed for?
Well, if we're talking primarily residential properties,
sure, yep,
it's based on sales data. And so in calculating the property values for the 2013 tax, that's based on the January 1st, 2012 valuation date. So you're really looking at sales for 2009, 10, and 11.
And I think that's important to understand, because most listeners, I surely did not know that before I had an opportunity to sit down and talk with you in the past. And it was eye-opening to really understand how everything all comes together. Lloyd, can you talk about how the assessor actually comes up with the value?
What we generally do is we will take the composite of what we call arm length sales and use those sales in a composite form, a three-year trended average, and we will come up with a valuation for your particular property. Even though you might not have sold your property this year, your neighbor might have. And so that neighbor's sale would go into the part of the composite of all sales for that particular time. And what generally happens is that we want to get a good median average price for all the property. And so within that framework, you then can determine whether or not our value is pretty close to what you think it should be and the other sales that have occurred in and around your neighborhood.
So in the last, year, let's look at 2012 because we're getting ready to wrap it up, right?
Right.
As far as King County goes, maybe compared to some of the other counties, have you seen, what's the percentage overall in King County that taxes have either, property taxes have gone up in the last couple of years, or they've actually been adjusted, down?
Well, we also went into this discussion last time, but just as a refresher for everyone, taxes in the state of Washington, property taxes, are based on revenue. So it is determined by the budgets that are adopted by all the tax districts. We have 164 tax districts within King County. And so we will come up with a composite dollar amount that needs to be raised. Say, for example, you passed a school levy for $50 million. We will collect $50 million for that school district, regardless of what the value of the properties are, in order to come up with that dollar amount.
Okay.
Makes sense.
You know, I think most people feel it's fairly fair. With the circuit breaker, we have a 1% circuit breaker that is there, that no jurisdiction can increase their income by greater than 1%. So say, for example, Tax District A taxed you at $100 last year, they could only get $101 unless you have a voter-approved levy.
Ballot measures are coming up for vote soon in November. How might those levies and the bond impact the 2013 property taxes for King County property owners?
Well, we've already seen a number of them already passed this year in 2012. We have some big ones that are still there, one of which is the Seattle Seawall Project. That's a fairly significant bond issue that will determine whether or not your property taxes will go up, say, for example, in the city of Seattle. There are other bond issues that are going throughout the 164 tax districts. And depending upon a positive vote or a negative vote will determine how much taxes will be collected.
So if you're listening, you need to vote. You need to open the envelope and vote.
That's correct.
So obviously you have, you know, been meeting with local city officials, you know, people in the real estate community. You know, that's obviously what you do day in and day out. You know, as far as King County, Snohomish, Pierce, in terms of recovery, what's your opinion? No, just your opinion
of the values.
Of the real estate market overall. You know, as far as, is our real estate market recovering in your opinion in those three major counties?
Well, in general, I will say this: is that properties that are closest to the major job centers, i.e., downtown Seattle, Bellevue, Redmond, those property values have held better than those that are further out. Say, like you live out in Enumclaw or Auburn, etc. Those properties are still having a difficult time recovering its full value.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lloyd, can you share with our listeners some data in the terms of permits for new construction in King County?
Permits are beginning to pick up. Once again.
Which is an awesome sign for our market.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And you can see the cranes again.
A lot. Mike and I were just talking about that.
Okay, as you drive around Seattle, which is good. Clearly, Seattle has had probably a greater number of permits. And we'll have more than last year, which is a good thing. However, if you go out to other smaller communities, maybe not as well. So, like I said, just like on values, it's mm-hmm. spotty throughout King County, even for 2012 as we complete the year.
So, kind of speaking on technology, we understand that your office has developed an iPad application for your appraisers to use out in the field. What how's that going to benefit the property
taxpayer?
Owners in the long term?
Well, there's a number of things. One, the overall cost in doing our work, it should lower that cost. It also improves our accuracy. It provides us the opportunity to be much more efficient and effective. I think overall it is a major savings to the taxpayer. We are the first county in the country to go to mobile technology, and we're getting many, many calls from other parts of the country to see what we've done.
It's expected, right? We're in Seattle.
Well, absolutely.
When it comes to technology, we gotta lead the way.
Absolutely.
It's nice to have those happy appraisers out in the field, right?
Oh, it is.
They love those iPads.
Well, I think it's an excellent investment. Aside from replacing the tablets that we had before, which mm-hmm. were big and bulky,
yep.
expensive,
yeah,
we can buy probably three iPads compared to replacement
of one of old
a,
one.
Bi- a yeah. big yeah. old tablet. Yeah. yeah, even at today's prices.
Yeah, that's great. Lloyd, any updates from your office in terms of updating the income for qualified low-income seniors and disability property owners?
Well, we are proposing some legislation to the state legislature because this is legislative law in order to do to make these changes. One is the income level. Currently, for senior citizen exemptions, the base income is $35,000 in total income. And it hasn't been changed since 1995. So we're working with senior organizations and group to say we probably should have something that relates closer to the cost of living index.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make it fairer, if that was the original intent to have a senior tax exemption.
So if you're looking at houses right now and you see those really, really low taxes, you got to look because chances are those are really low taxes from a seller that qualifies for the senior discount. And they absolutely are going to change when you buy that house.
That's true. That's correct. And I'm sure your real estate agents recognize that.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So where can a listener get more information on the tax reductions other than just going to the website, I would imagine, right? Is there any other place that they'd be directed to?
Well, you can call our office.
Oh, the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way. But I think the beauty of the website is as soon as something new comes up, we put it on the website. So you have that information almost as soon as we have it.
And I was going to ask, what are you running for response time? So if somebody, like the appeals, right? Somebody uploads to your website, they make an appeal, or they just have a question and they reach out to you through the web. Should they expect a call back within 24 hours or what?
That is the expectation that within 24 hours or one business day, that we would get back to you, either a telephone call or an email. And for appeals, your information generally must be filed with the Board of Equalization. That is an independent office of ours. But, you know, dealing with their response, you know, hopefully it's improving as well.
And if they are calling you by the phone, is it 8 to 5, or what's the time frame that they would need to get a hold of somebody in the office?
Our office, the county's official office hours are 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. However, you can leave a message, and we will get back to you next day.
Okay.
So just a friendly reminder for our listeners out there of the Money Hour, second half taxes are due October 31st, so 4 days away.
This
if your
Wednesday,
taxes are not included in your mortgage payment, get ready to write out that second half taxes. So Lloyd, if a listener plans on doing some improvements on their home, can they get some exemptions from taxes and the value of the improvements? How does that work?
Yes, you can. You can apply to our office on the remodel improvement, and we will review it with the homeowner, and they can submit that, and they have an opportunity to get some exemption based on the true cost of the remodel. Now, you know, that's what we have to work with the building departments of the various jurisdictions.
Okay.
And just in wrapping up, is there any new initiatives that are going to be coming up that you'd like to share with our listeners that they may not be aware of?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we are going online with the what we call e-appeals, and that would be on November 1st.
Okay.
And that's in preparation for when you get your next year's tax statement valuation notice starting in May for the 2013 year for the 2014 tax.
Okay. Lloyd, thank you again so much for coming in studio, and especially coming in live, because I know you're a busy guy and lots of stuff going on trying to save us some money. So thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks, Lloyd.
And Mike, who do we have coming up next week?
Next week, Tina, we have Tyler McKenzie with Windermere Real Estate, and we have Rich Keel with Generation Wealth Partners. Both of these guys are experienced in being interviewed, being on radio. They've been interviewed on television, and I'm really excited to have them on our show as guests. They're both bringing in some very interesting topics to discuss. So
perfect.
Yeah. So this is Mike Mercer signing off for the Mortgage Diva, Tina Mitchell.
And this is Tina Mitchell signing off for the Mortgage Master, Mike Mercer. Again, everyone, thank you for being here with us on Saturday. We enjoy talking with you. And don't forget to go online at themoneyhour.com and register for upcoming education buyer power workshop. Thanks for being here.
Have a great week, guys.